Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Lucy Hickmott.
Hello and happy Friday. Thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast on November 1st. Our top story, a Kent hospital has apologised after a 75-year-old man resorted to sleeping on the floor after a 12-hour wait in A&E. Martin Wakeley was taken to Medway Maritime with breathing difficulties and had to lie down because he has MS. Our reporter Joe Crossley has been speaking to his wife, Tracy.
It's heartbreaking. It is absolutely heartbreaking. My stepdaughter lives in Wales. She was crying down the phone. And his other granddaughter, she's saying it's disgusting. She was crying her eyes out. It's just heartbreaking. And you think he's worked all his life, he's paid all his taxes, he's done everything right, and he ends up on the floor. Well, as I said, it's like being on the floor with the rubbish, you know. I know, and I've got nothing against the people that was there, because they can only work with what they've got. But obviously, it's just the whole thing is stretched too far. I knew the NHS was in a state, but until you're actually in that situation, or you're actually there in amongst it, you don't realise how bad it is. And years ago, if you had an ambulance, it took you to hospital, you went straight into a ward and straight into a bed. But now there's this long, you know, before you get anywhere. It's just absolutely disgusting. And I feel sorry for the person that's got nobody there to fight their corner.
And you've talked about, you know, this is why you want to talk to us, because you have seen people in there. What other things did you see while you were with Martin during your trip up there?
Well, there was people asking to have their cannulas taken out. They was going home. They couldn't stand it no more. There was a man there that was, his head was bleeding. He was there. God knows how long he was there, but he was there long before us. There was a lady sitting in front of us. She'd been there 11 hours longer than us. And she didn't even have a bed. She was on a trolley. And there was another lady there. She had a broken arm and a broken leg. Couldn't go to the toilet, couldn't do anything. And she was there. Well, she was still there when Martin left yesterday. Still in the corridor. Actually, in fact, Martin and this lady was the only two left out of everybody that was there Sunday that was actually still in the corridor. Other than that, it was all just new people that had come in.
Is there anything else you'd like to add about your kind of experience?
Only that how other patients reacted to us. I mean, they was marvellous. The lady sitting behind us with her daughter, two daughters, she offered us their chairs for him to lay on. She offered us their coats for him to sit on. She offered to get him drinks. Just, you know, it was a bit of camaraderie between people. Do you know, everyone was trying to help somebody. Somebody didn't have no money for the machine, so they give them money for the machine. It was actually quite nice to sit there. It's not nice to sit there, but it was nice the way other people reacted to you. People was offering you assistance because they could see the situation we was in. They could see he was getting more and more aggravated and in more and more pain. I mean, he was sitting there in tears. I mean, he's 75 years old. He don't want to be sitting there crying his eyes out in front of people. Do you know what I mean? He's quite a proud person.
The Trust says staff are working to provide the best care possible at a particularly busy time. The government announced more funding for the NHS in this week's budget.
Kent Online reports.
A prison workshop instructor from Medway has admitted having an inappropriate relationship with a convicted murderer. 33-year-old Hayley Jones from Strood pleaded guilty to misconduct in a public office over her ties with Jordan McSweeney. He's serving a life sentence for the murder of Zara Alina in Ilford in 2022. A third man's been charged after a stabbing in Medway. Police were called to a property in Strood High Street on October 6th. The victim was later treated at Medway Maritime Hospital. A London man's been detained. He'll remain in custody and will appear at the same hearing along with two other suspects on November 11th. An elderly vandal has been spotted cutting down hundreds of handmade poppies. Our reporter Oliver Leonard's been following the story. So, Oliver, when and where has this been happening?
So this is actually along the Lees in Folkestone, which sees thousands of knitted and crocheted poppies put up on the railings every single year. Police were first contacted in August after a man was seen the month before removing the red poppies from the railings. It's been going on for a number of months now, but the organisers have said over the past few weeks it seems to have stopped.
What was the man's excuse when he was eventually identified?
An elderly man has now been identified by police after they reviewed local CCTV. He previously told the Folkestone Property Project that he doesn't like them, and he has been regularly throwing away hundreds of what he calls the red weeds.
And he's been spoken to by officers, but is there anything else police can do to stop him from doing it again?
Police have not actually confirmed whether they can stop the man from doing it again. But the leader of the Folkestone Poppy Project, Jan McNeil, has urged people not to approach him, but says police are aware and to call 999 if you see him cutting off the poppies, as it is an offence.
How have the Folkestone Poppy Project responded?
The Folkestone Poppy Project say that they are disgusted that this is happening, as they put in so much work every single year. But now the man has been identified, they told Kent Online that they are hopeful they can get the new poppies up on the railings without them being removed again.
Thanks, Oliver.
Kent Online News.
The number of people who've crossed the channel in small boats this year is now more than 30,000. 564 asylum seekers made the dangerous journey on Wednesday. One man died and several others were rescued after falling into the water near Calais. A manhunt is underway for the driver of a stolen van that caused a three-car crash in Raynham. Police were in pursuit of the vehicle after it had been reported stolen from Gillingham yesterday afternoon. It was involved in a minor collision in Mearscourt Road before the suspect fled on foot. The NSPCC say there were more than 260 cases of online child grooming in Kent in the last 12 months. That's up from 122 from 2017 to 18. The charity's calling for tech companies to be more proactive in protecting young people. Rani Gravenda is their child safety online policy manager.
Today we are sharing findings which show the huge scale which children are being targeted and groomed online. We're sharing data from 45 UK police forces, and it shows that around 7,000 sexual communication with a child offences were recorded last year. What's particularly concerning is that this is an almost 90% increase on when this offence was first introduced in 2017. So it's incredibly concerning to us that we're seeing a continued and significant rise in the way that children are being targeted and abused online. We think there are a range of reasons why we'll be seeing an increase in these offences. We know there's growing awareness of these crimes and that police recording of this offence is also getting better. But it also shows that the risk to children continues to increase online. It shows that more offences are taking place, and this is because tech companies ultimately haven't done enough to make their sites safe for children. And because of that, we're seeing this continued growth where adults are continue to able to target and abuse children online. One of the big themes which is coming through is that these are sites which are popular with children. So where we know which platform was involved, Snapchat accounts for almost half of the crimes in those cases. So I think that's a clear sign that Snapchat is posing a real risk to children at the minute and that they haven't done enough to make children's safety a priority. In terms of the children who are the victims in these cases, in around 80% of the cases, we're seeing that it's children that are being targeted. And these are children of all age ranges. Really sadly, the youngest case that we found was a boy who was at the age of 5. So I think this shows that this can impact any child. It's happening across the UK, and that's what's so important to remember, is that this can happen to anyone and the protection needs to be there for all children.
Ofcom is also facing calls to strengthen its measures to tackle child abuse and recognise the dangers some sites pose.
Kent Online reports.
A violent Maidstone man who attacked his partner after she found out he'd been living under more than 45 other names around the UK has been sent to prison. He'd carried out a string of offences. He was charged with strangulation, assault causing ABH and threatening someone with a knife. A court heard the 41-year-old had been suffering from PTSD after being bombed and shot in Bosnia. He's been locked up for 20 months. 10 people have been arrested during a week of action against rural crime in Kent. A suspected drug dealer was detained following a police chase along the A20 in Ashford last Monday. Two people were also charged after officers found catapults and an injured pheasant in the boot of a car. A Canterbury mum has issued a warning about the deadly trend of chroming following the death of her 13-year-old son. Nicky Lothar was found unconscious in the hallway of his home after inhaling deodorant back in June. He was rushed to hospital but had suffered heart failure caused by the toxic fumes and was unable to be saved. His mum Naomi says more needs to be done to educate young people about the dangers. Now, the founder of a Medway charity says they could have to consider laying off staff due to measures announced in this week's budget. In order to raise £40 billion worth of taxes, the employer's contribution to national insurance has increased, as has the minimum wage. Neil Charlick is from Gillingham Street Angels. He's been speaking to Oliver Leader-Sachs from our colleagues at KMTV.
As an employer, it's not good. We're getting hit twice, so we've now got to pay more national insurance contributions, and the minimum wage has gone up. So, as we've spoke about, it's our business model is helping people, so we're out there trying to help people. So for that to now add to the cost of what I've got to do all the time is a huge impact for me.
Like, how many? Because this is for a scale of your operation that is so vast now. Can you kind of talk about how many people you employ? So what's going to be kind of the impact on you?
There's 60 people through this charity, so that's a lot of people. There's the shops, there's the cafes, the business. I mean, when you're doing what we do, we feed 25,000 people a month. The infrastructure behind making it happen, making that possible, is huge. So we have to employ these people. We have to do the work we do. It's just not possible to do it without it. So it's a bad situation for us.
And what's like, I'm sure you haven't crunched all the numbers yet, but what are going to be some of the anticipated costs that you're going to experience, you reckon?
To be honest, I've not worked it out because I'm too worried about working it out. We're struggling as it is. So for us to add that additional cost is madness for us. You know, we might end up having to make cuts ourselves, and there might be job losses our end.
So you genuinely think that if the numbers are too bad, people could be let go?
Yeah, we can't cope. This is not when COVID, people were supporting charities. There was making grants, there was donations, there was things happening. Now that's all that stopped, poverty seems to have been forgotten. People are not backing it anymore. So we're on our own. We're trying to make ourselves sustainable and earn the money we need to make it possible. And that is a struggle every day. So this kind of increase is a huge problem for us.
So in terms of how you're struggling at the moment, like, is it almost like a month-to-month, week-to-week sort of thing?
Yeah, it is a month-to-month. It is a struggle. It is a struggle what we're doing. And we have to, there's things you can't cut. You know, people need feeding. There's the hub that people get advice from, school uniform banks, all these things. And just the infrastructure behind making that happen is huge. You have to have vehicles, you have to have staff, you walk in fridges, freezers, gas, electric bills. It's a huge cost.
And also, like, it's a close-knit team, the Gillingham Street Angels. Like, how do you feel like, on a personal level, knowing that some of the staff that you talk to almost every other day, you might have to say, well, we can't offer you as many shifts, or we may have to let you go?
It's going to be hard, and we're going to have to take that, you know, take it as we go. I don't want to let anyone go. I don't want to be doing things like that. It's good for them. They're getting extra money, but it's us who are being hit in the pocket.
Because obviously minimum wage is going up, it will benefit workers, even if it's not going to necessarily benefit all employers like yourselves. Well, what do you make of it? Do you think that the government's new policies will help lift people out of poverty?
I think it's a start. Whether that finishes it, I don't think so. There's too much problems out there. You know, everything's rising. You can't even rent a house these days. The cost of everything is horrendous. So you're giving them a few pence extra and you're taking a few pounds extra. It's kind of in one hand out the other. It's not as simple as that. You don't get anything for free these days. They'll find another way of taking it back off you.
Well, these people on Rochester High Street gave us their thoughts on the increase in minimum wage.
Well, I think that's good for people on minimum wage, but it's not good for small businesses because they've obviously got to pay that minimum wage and probably less people will get employed.
I'm happy that it's gone up. It's the cost of living rises, it needs to, and especially for the younger people trying to get into the finding places to live, the apprentices.
16 to 18 year olds, good for them. For people over that limit, I think it's just going to have a knock-on effect on small coffee shop businesses because they've got to pass that cost on.
Kent Online News.
A woman has reportedly been attacked by teenage boys on a bus in Thanet. The passenger was between Westwood Bus Garage and Leopold Street in Ramsgate on Monday afternoon when she was repeatedly punched. The driver reported it to police, who say they're investigating. A man who burgled a Sevenoaks home has been jailed after being denied entry into Canada after trying to flee the UK. Leonardo Velasquez Valencia was detained at Heathrow Airport. He was charged with offences across the country, including in Kent, Essex, London and Surrey. The 37-year-old's been sentenced to 3 years and 9 months in prison. Nearly 200 kilos of illegally imported meat has been seized at the port of Dover over fears of African swine fever. It was stopped by the environmental health team last week as part of a crackdown on stopping potentially dangerous products being smuggled into Kent from Europe. The disease doesn't affect humans. The seized goods will now be destroyed. The man at the council in charge of Kent's roads has blamed lorries and tourist traffic for the number of potholes. It comes as the AA reports a sharp rise in the number of breakdowns directly caused by road surface issues. Councillor Neil Baker has revealed the authority's investing £50 million a year to tackle the problem. He's been speaking to Local Democracy reporter Gabriel Morris about the extra strain a county takes.
Kent is in a unique position. It's the gateway to Europe. We've got a number of ports, near a tunnel. I mean, that puts a lot of freight traffic on the road. What sort of impact, you know, do those lorries have on the county?
I think that's absolutely fair. While, of course, the motorways and the major trunk roads are looked after by National Highways, as residents will always tell us, many of those lorries are going on other routes that we do look after. Clearly, HGVs cause a lot more damage than cars. And it goes back to the whole funding issue, where a mile of road in Kent is funded by central government to the same level as a mile of road elsewhere in the country. And that may be a road without that HGV usage. It may be a road with far better subsurface rather than Kentish clay. So that's another conversation that is needed, because we really are the gateway to Europe. And the pressures that puts on our road impacts our local residents on a daily basis. Perhaps that's an interesting conversation that happens as part of all the devolution talk about how Kent looks in the future. But we only have to look to our friends on the continent about how they fund roads, how HGVs perhaps do pay more towards the maintenance than we do. Because that's a fair point. We have a lot of foreign freight coming in, perhaps not contributing in a way that we would like to the upkeep of our roads, and they are of course damaging them as much as any other traffic. So I think that is a conversation to be had with government. And as always, we need to make clear to government we are not just another county. We're a large county. 1.5 million plus people. That is on the front line when it comes to all of these vehicles coming in and causing damage. So we need to make the most of that and make our voices heard at Westminster and Whitehall.
Elsewhere today, controversial plans for more than 40 homes in the heart of a Kent village have been given the green light. It comes more than 3 years after an application for the development in Woodchurch near Ashford were first submitted. Despite facing backlash from residents, the planning inspectorate has ruled construction work can now begin. Rising costs have scuppered plans for a new lakeside pub and restaurant in Ashford. Shepherd Neame have been in talks about launching a site at Conningbrook Lakes Country Park, near to where hundreds of new homes are being built. Bosses at the UK's oldest brewery now say the project is no longer economically viable.
Kent Online reports.
A 19th century pub in Ramsgate has been demolished in what's being called the end of an era. The Chilton Tavern in Pegwell Road was gutted in a suspected arson attack 2 years ago. It's now been torn down to make way for new homes. Shop owners in Gravesend Town Centre are welcoming plans to build more flats. An application's been submitted to turn the former job centre in the Grove into 37 apartments. Local traders say it could bring people back and give the town vibrancy. A decision on the proposals is expected in December. The Edenbridge Bonfire Society's effigy of Ticketmaster will be set alight this weekend. We've already told you how the company was chosen for this year's display over their handling of the Oasis reunion. Andrea Deans is the artist behind the sculpture.
Once we chosen the Ticketmaster, the first hurdle was the face, because who is the Ticketmaster? We see Ticketmaster as a money-making machine. So if you put a human face on it, no one would recognize it. So what's the second thing we can have? So the emoji came up, because it's an emoji, money emoji, it makes sense. And also these days, emojis are everywhere, aren't they? On everyone's phones, every age group recognizes them. So that's why we went for that. Then we've got the suit, which is in blue Ticketmaster branding colors. And loads of cash coming out of his pockets, because this is basically trying to highlight how much money the Ticketmaster took from all of us. Then we've got the queue, the mighty queue that everyone sit on, you know, for ages on end. And then while you're sitting in a queue, you know, you can see the prices rising in front of your very eyes. And then at the end of it, you get logged out. I mean, it happened to me. I'm sure it happened to lots of other people. So that's why I wanted to put all of those elements, frustrating elements, on the artwork. And the last one is obviously the Gallagher brothers. And I just want to make sure that everyone understands that they're not our effigy. They are there as puppets, because their reunion basically brought up this to light, the whole, you know, money-making, ticketing thing. So that's why they're there, as puppets, not as an effigy.
The festivities kick off at 6:30 tomorrow evening with a procession through the town. And now with a look at some other events and activities across the county, here's our What's On editor Sam Laurie.
Bonfire Night is coming up next week, but lots of places all over Kent are starting the celebrations early this weekend with some fantastic fireworks displays. Kent skies will light up both this weekend and next, with displays at huge attractions and local schools and charity nights that the whole family can enjoy. If you want to find your local fireworks display, we've got a list of 20 different events taking place all over the county up now on Kent Online. There's also a brilliant book festival that launched today and continues for the rest of the month. Medway River Lit will see best-selling authors and prize winners talk at venues like Chatham and Rochester Library, Coffee Republic and Intra Arts. Ben Ockrey, A.A. Chowdhury and Caitlin Davies are just some of the names that will be speaking at this year's festival. And you can find the full programme on the Medway River Lit website. And if you want to start your Christmas shopping early, you can head to the Detling Antiques and Vintage Fair at the Kent Events Centre on Saturday and Sunday. The fair will have more than 400 indoor and outdoor stalls selling all sorts of retro gems and second-hand treasures. And if you want to find more of Kent's antique stores, we've got a list of autumn fairs up on our What's On website. If you fancy seeing some comedy this weekend, deadpan comic Milton Jones is bringing his new tour, Hamilton, to the Central Theatre in Chatham on Sunday. And on Monday, satirical stand-up star Nish Kumar will be at the Marlowe Theatre in Canterbury. And while we're on the subject of the Marlowe, there's still time to see The Incredible War Horse. The jaw-dropping play is in town until Saturday night. So if you're heading out to one of Kent's spectacular fireworks displays this weekend, don't forget to wrap up warm, grab a glow stick and have a brilliant time.
Thanks, Sam.
Kent Online Sports.
Football, and Gillingham will be hoping to put their poor League Two form behind them in the FA Cup this weekend. They're heading into Saturday's game against League One Blackpool with just 1 point from their last six games. Here's Gill's manager, Mark Bonner.
It is difficult to know exactly, you know, how a team approaches it in terms of how many changes they might make, but I've played against them and know a lot of their players fairly well over the last few years and seen them up close, so they've got a really good squad, and whichever 11 they pick, they're going to be a very, very strong team, very athletic team, really direct, wide players, really attacking, aggressive fullbacks, a front two who can cause you all sorts of problems, midfield players with brilliant passing range. I'm making them sound amazing, but they are very good. They're very good at the level they play at and the players that they've got. But at the same time, we think there's ways in which we can counter that, prevent that causing us problems, and problems we can try to cause them as well. So there's no question when you play against top teams, and you go back to the start of pre-season, our first two games, Millwall, Watford, real high level opposition, and then we've played Swansea, and then we've played Peterborough, and we've had games against teams from higher levels, and we've seen the level and the challenge of that, and that is a good opportunity for us to test ourselves against those players. But you know that in a moment, really good individuals can cause you a problem, so we'll have to be at a really high level ourselves. But that is what the FA Cup does. This weekend, there will be shed loads of surprises, and we're going to hopefully be one of them.
Elsewhere, Tunbridge Angels are hosting Harborough Town after making it through to the first round of the FA Cup for just the second time in 50 years. Maidstone United are travelling to take on Solihull as they look to repeat their incredible run from last year. And in cricket, Kent's Zach Crawley has signed an England Central contract extension. It's after the opening batsman made his 50th Test appearance in Pakistan. The new deal runs through until the end of next year. That's all from us today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget you can follow us on Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok and Threads. You can also get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And while you're on the website, why not check out the latest review from The Secret Drinker, who's met a picky bird in a pub by the beach.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.